Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, he is the Cavanaugh KT version of Hoops. Nick Nepik has been doing NBA draft homework for years, and he is joining us on Sean and RJ, buyersafety.com hotline. All right, Nick, how much of a disaster was last night for the Mavs? We are all hoping for the third pick or better. They end up with number five. What do you think?
Well, I guess it could have been worse, but only about one pick worse, right? 4.5% chance at number six. They don't end up there, and they get the fifth pick. When you go in, first of all, when you start and the person doesn't even know the person that is announcing your or representing you's name, she stumbled through Michael Finley. That was a bad start, It only got worse. And I've kind of convinced myself at this point, 12 hours later, that I'm okay with the number five pick, but in the moment, I don't think it could have been much worse at all for Maverick fans.
All right, why are you okay with it 12 hours later?
Well, because I think there are six really good players in the class. I think there are two elite players. So when we look back at last year's draft, everyone was pretty confident that it was nine. And the Mavericks ended up at nine, and we got a really good pick. And then you look at this year, and I think it's a pretty different group of players. I think the top two are clear in Ayton and Doncic, and then the rest of the way, or at least the other four, there's a little bit of a drop-off, but not much. And so the top six guys I really, really like, seven, I guess, if you include Michael Porter Jr. And so the Mavericks being at five, I'm confident they're going to get somebody that's really good.
With Porter, it all comes down to what the medical people say, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so, Nick, it's not that bad if we can convince ourselves that Ayton and Doncic were going to go 1-2, assuming that, you know, we all thought we were going to get the number three pick, right? So then the bitter pill to swallow, the biggest pill, would be Bagley, who would have been there at three, or is there someone else I'm missing?
I think Bagley is the biggest one, although I've sort of told myself that it could end up being one of the three. So it could be Mo Bamba, who we've heard Skin, you know, talk about so much lately, and there was the great piece on The Ringer, and that's sort of been the fan favorite as of late. And then Jaren Jackson, who is the youngest player in the class out of Michigan State. And I think there's a chance that Marvin Bagley could be there at five, but I think it's the least of the three options. But I think you're going to have a choice of one of the three, or at least one of the three is going to be there in Mo Bamba, Jaren Jackson, or Marvin Bagley.
All right, tell us who you like the most, the pros and the cons of each one, who you would be the happiest with, and maybe a little bit of disappointment based upon all the scouting you've been doing.
I think I'd be the happiest with Marvin Bagley because he would have the biggest impact right away on both ends of the floor. So some guys just know how to score and know how to grab rebounds, two things that the Mavericks could really use some help with, and Marvin Bagley could hop in and do that right away. And then when you're talking about upside, that's where the other two guys come into play. So Jaren Jackson and Mo Bamba both have really big upside for different reasons. So Bamba is the defensive anchor, the shot blocker, the Rudy Gobert-esque type guy, although I think he's a different player than Gobert. But he steps on the floor tomorrow, and he's a great defender. The questions come, does he ever develop into any sort of offensive threat? If he does, then he might be the next Joel Embiid or somebody like that. If he doesn't, then you just have a really good defensive player. But is that what you really want? And then when you go to Jaren Jackson Jr., you look at his numbers, and he only averaged 11-6. And the numbers don't jump out. They look kind of just mediocre, especially when you're considering you're taking him in the top five. But to me, he is just the modern NBA big. He's athletic, he shoots threes, and he blocks shots. If you play him at the five, then you would potentially have five super athletic players on the floor who can all shoot the basketball. Fits perfectly in the modern NBA, but he's shown that he can be a bit raw, and he's super young. There's going to be, you know, time for him to develop, and you know, we might forget about him before we see him being really good. It might take a few years or take 3 years before Jaren Jackson becomes really good in any one area.
Which one of those guys would be the biggest sort of boom or bust type candidate?
I think it's probably Jackson, because even though he's pretty versatile or has shown to be, he might just get lost in the fold and become another okay rotation player, but that's not what you want in the top five. Right. I think the other two do enough things really well that they will at least be really serviceable players for a long time, rather than just they're either really good or really bad. I think Jackson has the most 5 years we look up and he's an all-star, five years we look up and he is just sort of hanging around the Mavericks organization.
Yeah, 5 years we'll look up, he's 23.
That's true.
Nick Nepik joining us here on 105 Through the Fan, previewing the NBA draft and giving us a look at some of these players. All right, let's just say they decide to surprise us and go outside these top five guys that we've talked about. Is there somebody that could slide into the top five?
I think it's Michael Porter Jr. I think he is the one wild card, and it's all about the medicals. And he's even, you know, he could even not give medicals to certain teams, and if he doesn't, then they won't pick him. He sort of has a little bit of control over where he ends up if he wants it. And being, if he doesn't want to go to, you know, the Hawks, he doesn't give them his medicals, and so he sort of slides down. Now, I wouldn't, you know, why wouldn't you want to go in the top three? Who knows? But he can kind of control that. But I think it's Michael Porter Jr. I've seen certain places, you know, already put him in Dallas in mock drafts. I don't know if I wouldn't be disappointed, because I think he has potential. But of all the guys I think that we should consider, he would be the least exciting to me just because of the back injury. I mean, we know all too well in Dallas, you know, how serious a back injury could be, how they don't go away, how they just sort of linger. You know, one wrong fall and he's, you know, right back under the knife getting another surgery. Back injuries, they just tend to get worse. They don't tend to get better. So all that makes me really nervous about Michael Porter, even though, you know, he's shown he can be a great player. He was great in high school. He was all over, you know, the recruiting boards and was the best player in the class before he got hurt and all these things. But the back injury is just a lot to overcome for me. And maybe that's just because I live in Dallas and I've seen it a lot with the football team. But right now, Michael Porter Jr. just gives me a lot of pause.
Who is the top 10 prospect or first-round player that you just disagree with in terms of the hype? You're like, I don't get it. I don't like it. I know that I wouldn't draft this guy. Someone top 10 or some a first-round hype?
I think it really just stays around Porter. But if you want to move away from that, I think the group of the latter half of the lottery is going to be interesting. I like a lot of the guys there, but then there's, you know, players like Trae Young, for example. I've seen him put up as high as six. You know, when he was at his highest in college basketball, he was being in, you know, put in the top three. I don't think he's that. And it was Ben and Skin and I had a really good conversation about Trae Young. I guess that was Monday. And he played around a group of players that are never going to touch the NBA. And, you know, no offense to them, you know, good for them playing college basketball, but there just wasn't a lot of talent on that OU team. He was the only player they had. And so he had to do a lot. And while I like him, I don't think he's going to live up to top six type hype. I think if you take him in the lottery and he plays on a team where he doesn't have to have any pressure, he can learn, he can, you know, grow as a small NBA point guard where he's got to learn how to play defense and be serviceable on that end, he could find some success. But with all the hype he had earlier in the year, you've seen that, you know, a lot of shoe companies really want him right now. I just think it'll be tough for him to live up to that.
At the end of the day, Nick, do you think that tanking was worth it?
Right now, I'll hold off on a hard yes, but I'll say yes right now just because you got a top five pick. But, I mean, who knows what could happen in the next month. But as of today, I will say yes.
Nick Nepik, been doing all the homework. So give the peeps, let's give a little Nick Nepik education. Give everyone a little background on the homework that you do, how much you watch these players. Just a little rundown of, you know, Kavanaugh and KT get all the film glory up here, as they should. But how do you study these guys?
Well, I start in, I guess, November when the college basketball season starts. And I just sort of run down the top names from, I guess, the recruiting classes, all the guys that are going to be one and done is where I start. And I just start watching whatever games they have. You know, I usually spend three mornings a week from, you know, three early mornings. I get up and just start watching tape until about lunch. And that's sort of how I start. And then I just go through the college basketball season, and any of them that are on, I'll watch it and jot down notes and usually go back and watch replays. But yeah, I start with the top guys and get them out of the way as far as your DeAndre Aytons. For Luka Doncic, it was this summer when he was playing in the Eurobasket. That's when I got a lot of watching. I watched four of his games. But I started at the top and then just sort of worked my way down. And there are guys that I didn't get to see as much of just because we simply don't have access to, you know, as much of their film like other international prospects. But I started at the top, worked my way down, and usually have every player that I want to have at least seen once done by December or January. Okay. And so March Madness and all that is just adding icing on the cake, whether good or bad, whatever my evaluation has started to be.
You think Doncic can go number one over Ayton to Phoenix?
I think he could. You know, they hired his old national team coach. I think there's something to that. And I think he'd be a good fit there. Although I would take Ayton, I think Doncic is definitely in play.
Where did you have Donovan Mitchell last year?
I had him. I was pretty low on Donovan Mitchell compared to where he's ended up. I think I had him at 15, so just outside the lottery as far as on my board. So I was, you know, I guess you could say I missed on Donovan Mitchell, but the one that I did well with was Jason Tatum. I had him second on my board, and he went to a perfect situation. I don't want to act like he...
You can brag. You brag about it, Nick.
But Tatum was the guy that I was high on last year. Mitchell, I surprised a lot of people, and especially me, because he just made huge strides and played really well. But Tatum was the guy that I had second that is still showing out in the playoffs right now.
Hey, man, great stuff. Thank you for the education, and keep the info rolling on Twitter, and we look forward to you coming on again as the draft gets closer. Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Nick Nepic, buyersafety.com hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.